Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five, broadcast from my basement out here in Elbert County, Colorado, in the middle of the 2009 recession. Make that the depression of 2009. Yesterday's Wall Street Journal, the IMF president, the first major economic leader, called this a depression. Whatever's happening in America and Japan and Europe is a depression, says the president of the International Monetary Fund. So maybe it is. Bloomberg Online also says U.S. taxpayers have already spent almost $10 trillion on bailout programs, folks. The stimulus package the U.S. Congress is completing would raise the government's commitment to solving the financial crisis to $9.7 trillion, enough to pay off more than 90% of the nation's home mortgages. They quote some Democrat as saying, quote, "We've seen money go out the back door of this government unlike any time in the history of our country. Nobody knows what went out of the Federal Reserve Board, to whom and for what purpose, how much from the FDIC, how much from TARP, when, why." That's Senator Byron Dorgan from North Dakota on the Senate floor February 3rd. $9.7 trillion is almost two-thirds of the value of everything produced in the U.S. last year. That, my friends, is a financial crisis. This is the worst financial crisis in two generations. It's erased $14.5 trillion, or 33% of the value of the world's companies, since September 15th. A third. Did you get that, folks? A third of the value of the world's companies have been erased. The value of the world's companies. 33%, $14.5 trillion of the world's companies erased since September 15th. It brought down Bear Stearns Companies and Lehman Brothers Holdings and led to the takeover of Merrill Lynch by Bank of America Corporation. And also, remember, as the government takes over the banks, the auto companies, et cetera, and they're taking them over, make no mistake about it, they start funding it, they control it, that's what happens. That's what fascism is all about, folks. Fascism is when the government funds and controls the means of production in this country. And that's what's happening. That's what our government is doing. Obama announced, by the way, he's limiting pay to $500,000, which is appropriate. Which is appropriate. These guys have no right to run their own businesses if the government is funding and controlling these businesses. And that, of course, is the plan for total socialist control of America, with a K. What the government funds, the government controls, folks. But also remember this. The government cannot save you. The government cannot save you. If you want a messiah, hey, we've got one. There's a bumper sticker that came out saying, I'm not looking for a savior, I'm looking for a president. And, you know, unfortunately, most people see the president as the messiah, as the savior, and they're looking to government to save them. You turn over your economy to these people, they will hand you impoverishment, folks. That's what governments do. You turn over your medical care to them, they'll give you euthanasia when you turn 75 years old, or 70, or make that 65. Depending on what the economy is doing at any given point in time. Well, what about doing what we're doing? We've abandoned the state system of education, folks. That's what we did. We started doing that back in the 1970s, 1980s. We said, we're going to take control of our own education. We're going to educate our own children. We are going to take control of our own system of schooling and universities. We're not relying on the state for K-12 education and college education. We have abandoned statist socialist education. We're also building our own education systems, medical systems, too, and our own economic systems. And I'm excited about the potential of this sort of thing. As the dying, wretched socialist economies are falling, we are building our own. We're starting our own game. We're building our own medical systems, education systems, and economic systems. And we are looking at this as the great opportunity of 2009, folks. It's a whole new way of playing the game. We're going to do our own thing. In just a moment, I'm going to talk with some young entrepreneurs, boys in business, guys who are starting out doing their own thing. That's next on Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. Stay with me. Great program up next.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for The Daily Show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson addressing the great opportunity of 2009, or was that the Great Depression of 2009? That, according to the International Monetary Fund president, now is calling this the Great Depression. Whatever's happening in Europe, Japan, and America is a depression, says this guy. And a third of the value of the world's companies erased since September 15th. That's pretty depressing. That's pretty depressing. But we're talking about an entirely new economic approach and educational approach. And we are using this great downturn as an opportunity to redefine the way we do education and economics. It's a time for a change in attitudes and perspectives concerning economics. We got to change the way we prepare our young people for the calling that God has for their life, for the dominion work that is ahead of them. And that will include mentorships. That will include a focus upon character rather than academics. We are far more interested in our children's application of the book of Proverbs than we are in our children's attending Harvard University and becoming the summa cum laude graduate of some major university. We are focused on character. We are focused on things like mentorships, debt-free living, risking their own future for the purpose of entrepreneurships, and so forth. These are the things we're reviving on this radio program. It includes education, but it's broader than that. It also must include this vital area of economics. And now today we want to talk with a couple of young entrepreneurs just starting out. And they are applying some of the principles that we're talking about on this radio program. And Chad Roach is an assistant to this ministry. He's been half-time with the ministry since, was it 2006, Chad? Now you're 21 years old, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Chad's 21 years old, and he is an entrepreneur. You do business yourself, and you have been in business for 4, 5, 6 years, 7 years, since you were how old?
I started out in the lawn mowing and the little animal entrepreneurial activities when I was a young man, just on some acreage out in the country. My father helped me learn a few things on that and have gradually moved on to other businesses ever since, so probably at least 5 or 6 years.
And your goal is what? What do you want? What do you want to do by the time you're 23, 24 years old?
By the time I'm 24 years old, I'd like to have a business that's earning me 6 figures a year. I'd like to have a house paid off and debt-free, and I'd like to be giving a significant portion of my time toward work in the church, work in this generation's ministry, and in other non-economic areas.
Chad, that's just 2, 3 years away. And you're 21 now. By the time you're 23, debt-free, six-figure income, you think this is doable?
Well, I think it is. I think that these single years that I've been given in which I have a fairly large amount of flexibility, a large amount of extra time on hand, I can make hay while the sun shines, and these years of my life are when the sun is shining. So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to work the 90 hours a week, and Lord willing, put something in place that I can provide for a family and get these businesses rolling. I have two businesses going currently, and I may be close to that 6-figure year already. And if I can do that for a couple of years and save it, I'll be close for the house as well.
Yeah. But what are your businesses? What are you doing right now? I mean, you're involved with ministry. You have time. People should know that you're not full-time business. You're actually involved in this ministry about half-time, have been for 3 years. But the rest of the time, you're building your own businesses. What are the businesses?
3 years ago, I started working as an independent agent for a Christian company that provides credit card processing or merchant services for small businesses and ministries. So for businesses and ministries that take MasterCard or Visa, I've been providing that service. I have about 100 accounts in 25 or more states around the country. So for the last 3 years, I've been building that side of things up. And just about 6 months ago, I started my own company selling precious metal bullion for people who are looking for alternative investments to the current markets, current stock and bond market investments. So I've been doing that, and the Lord has really blessed that business, and it looks like it's going to be on track for a pretty significant year during 2009.
Yeah. God has blessed you. I mean, you know, you work hard, but then you turn around and say, well, God has blessed me in these things. What do you attribute your success to? You are a successful young guy. I mean, I know you. We don't want to go through everything you've done and all the money you've made and so forth, but your success, what do you attribute that to?
Couple things. First of all, any good thing that I receive has come from the hand of the Lord. So he can do whatever he'd like in blessing me or withholding that blessing, and I just praise him no matter which way it goes. Success or failure in business, God gets the glory. One of the things that I've learned is that honoring my parents and my father has been a very important part of business success for me, sometimes in random and totally unrelated ways. Not that I've hired my dad to come work for me and that really helped my business, but just honoring him and being part of my family and putting a few of the other priorities that are even more important than business first has allowed me to see some success in the little bit of time that I am able to throw toward business every week.
So what you're saying, it's not all about, you know, getting the six books on business success and employing these principles on economic success, but it involves seeking the kingdom of God, the interests of God. God wants relationships to be preeminent. God wants church and worship to be an important part of life. God wants you to glorify him and honor your parents in the process. And a lot of the pagans out there that write these economic books, they don't include the fifth commandment. They don't include the first commandment. They don't include these things because they think they're disconnected to business. But you're saying is seek first the kingdom of God, and he'll add all this junk unto you.
That's right. I've never read a business book in my life. I've read Proverbs again and again and again, and I've had it taught to me in family worship for years and years. But I've never read Zig Ziglar. I've never read the guys who are supposed to be successful in business. And God has managed to bless me in between. So
yeah. Okay. You know, you've come out of this great recession, and you know everything's depressed, and people are losing their jobs right and left. But you seem to be doing okay. I mean, so far so good for you guys.
Well, I honestly look at 2009 as a year of incredible opportunity for those who are willing to take it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be driving down the highway at 80 miles an hour in cruise control. You've got to be constantly changing lanes, changing speeds, switching gears, but there's going to be opportunity out there. A third of the world's business may have gone down the tubes since September of last year, but there's still $28 trillion left. And I don't know about the rest of everybody, but $28 trillion is enough to work off of for me. There's going to be some opportunities that are going to come up, especially in times of economic change when stores of value are changing, when people are changing, when new spending habits are being created, when people are looking around and thinking in different ways than the past. That opens up incredible doors for new people with new ideas to come in and to do very well.
And you're busier than ever. I mean, you're not bored. Have you ever been bored, Chad?
I can't remember the last time I was bored. Occasionally, I think it'd be nice to go to bed before 12 midnight. No, bored is not usually one of the words that I use.
Yeah, yeah. And you've never been unemployed?
Excuse me, unemployed?
Yeah.
Unemployed? No. As far as I look at it, there's always work to do.
Yeah.
I can only get so much of it done, but I'm sure going to give everything I've got to get as much as I can done in any given day.
So the Pilgrims and the Puritans came to America in 1620s. There weren't very many jobs, but there were a lot of work to do. There's just a lot of work to do. And people were busy. And so you look at the world, and you see a recession. Are you depressed?
No. I don't see a recession on the micro. There might be a recession happening in global and national economies, but for me, right now, I couldn't be busier.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking around, I'm seeing things to get done, and I can't get as much done as I'd like to. I'd like to be doing more than I can, but you only have so many hours in a day.
Yeah. You take a Sabbath? You take rest?
I do. Every Sunday, I will completely turn my email off. I won't do anything on the phone or the email all day. And Lord willing, as much as I can, I'll keep my mind away from focus on that as well.
Yeah. But what does the rest of the week look like, Monday through Saturday, and what are you doing?
First thing in the morning, after family worship and some time in the Word, I'll be generally working business from 8 in the morning, sometimes through dinner. And sometimes all the way till midnight at night, depending on the individual day.
Yeah, I can testify to that. It's sometimes I have to shut things down because things are still humming at midnight or 1 in the morning. And the bottom line here is there's always work to do. And you have to be somewhat flexible. As you said, you've got to be willing to change lanes, change gears. You can't be on cruise control. Nobody sets it in neutral. In an economy like this, you've got to be pretty flexible. If you're flexible and if you look around, you'll find a few opportunities and go and do those opportunities. And before you know it, God is blessing.
That's right. One of the best business pieces of advice that I had ever received from a friend of mine was a little phrase that goes like this: nothing beats a try like a failure. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know in starting either of the businesses that I'm working on whether or not I'd be a success. I don't think anybody knows starting out whether or not this is going to work. But if you don't start out, you definitely know if it's going to work or not. And the answer is no. If you don't try it, it can't work.
Yeah. Have you ever failed with anything, Chad?
Oh, I have. My first big business venture was a dog that I was going to breed. I put several thousand dollars, which for me at the age of 16 was about all I had, into this venture. And I was going to be breeding dogs and selling puppies, and the dog proved to be infertile. So that that was my first major failure, and there was really no way around it besides to cut it off as a business loss and move on. But it taught me a lot of lessons. It taught me that no matter how much I try, I still look to the Lord for His blessing upon my business, and that at any point in time, God could choose to remove financial blessing from me, and I'm still content in that and still willing to work for His glory despite it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Chad, for sharing with us. I hope this is inspiring a lot of folks out there, not just the young 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, but also just men out there who's sitting around going, hey, no jobs. But there are plenty, plenty, plenty of opportunities out there. We make lists all day long, constantly, throughout the weeks and months that we're together. We're always making lists of new ideas, new products, new services that we could provide, either in the ministry or in some of the side businesses that we're running. There are always opportunities, and it's difficult sometimes to choose which ones we're gonna pick up on and employ. But there are plenty of opportunities, plenty of work to do, and there is no reason why anybody should be sitting around unemployed, not working. Daniel Swanson, all right, pull up to the microphone, son, and let's talk a little bit about what you're doing. Daniel, 17 years old. I've been hanging around with him for, what, about 17 years now? And Daniel is working to get started on his own business. And, Dan, you have been working with some of your businesses now for, what, 4 or 5 years. How did it get started?
Well, I really started actually by just working around the neighborhood. I would just find opportunities, just go around, hand out my flyers, try to get the courage up to get out there and knock on doors and get turned down a lot and occasionally find something. And so that's really how I started.
Okay, you start making a little money on the side. You know what, like $50, $100 a month, something like that, right? You always start with roughly zero, right?
Right.
Where you start, and then eventually you're making $10 a month, and then you're making $50 a month. All right, and you're still working. You got a few businesses going now. So what are you doing at this point?
Well, at this point, I have a couple things in the works. I mean, one thing I'm also doing, just as Chad is I'm setting up merchant accounts for businesses in the credit card processing industry. And then I'm also, what I try to do is I buy large lots of electronics and then I'm selling them. And I'm just always looking for an opportunity. And so I also have several other business ideas I have in the works.
Mm-hmm. And what's your goal for this year, 2009? You're 17 years old this year. What do you want to do this year?
My real goal is probably to make about $1,500 a month.
Okay, all right. Now, you've learned how to sell some things. One of the things you got to do if you're in business for yourself is you got to sell yourself. You got to sell things. Now, how's it going with that? Are you learning how to sell things to people? Are you afraid of selling? Is that something you're afraid of? Are you afraid to approach people? Because that's obviously an important part of what Chad is doing. He's got his businesses in credit card processing, his business in silver, and you're doing some of the same stuff in electronics and in the area of credit card processing. So you approach somebody on the phone, you walk up to somebody in a store, and you say, hey, I've got this great product, this great service. How are you doing with that?
So far, I've been getting better every day. Of course, it takes practice to do anything better. And so at first, yeah, of course, it was hard for me, especially when I was getting my first no's and people didn't want to talk to me. But lately, I've found ways to get around that. And just getting over that initial hump is always good. And then a lot of it is just don't take it personally.
Yeah. So you've been turned down a few times.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Put your tail between your legs and run on home and hide under your bed, or what do you do?
Well, that was at first my initial reaction, but yeah, now I've tried to take it in stride and continue to do things to God's glory, so.
Yeah, okay. So you enjoy what you're doing, Dan. I mean, here you are. You're starting out with your own entrepreneurial endeavors, and your goal is to make $18,000 this year in selling and buying different things. Do you like what you're doing? You want to go work in Kmart or Walmart or what have you, or do you want to just do your own thing?
Definitely want to do my own thing, just because a lot of it is because you have a lot more potential. It's easier to think up new ideas instead of being stuck packing groceries into bags all day long.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's your plan for life, son? What are you looking at? Where are you going to go with life here?
Well, currently I'm looking at starting a couple of my own businesses. I eventually want to become more of an entrepreneur with the business aspect of things and just trying to find a successful business and just that the Lord will give me wisdom and that I will continue to grow in that area.
Okay, very good. Let's take a moment and pull Josiah Gallo into this conversation. He's another young entrepreneur from Denver, and we want to get him on the phone line here. Josiah has established his own business in the laser engraving area, and he's got 8 to 10 employees. He's 23 years old, and let's pull him onto the phone lines right now. Josiah, welcome to Generations.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Josiah, talk a little bit about how you got started as an entrepreneur. You've been at this thing now for, what, 8, 9 years?
Yeah, pretty much as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
I started off doing web design at my parents' house, and then went from that to doing auto detailing, mobile auto detailing, which was fun, especially in Colorado this summer. Winter wasn't so fun, got it all cold, but made it work, and then went from that to laser engraving, which I've been doing for 5.5 years.
Yeah, you like this kind of life? I mean, you like to be an entrepreneur, you like to look out there and find something that needs to happen, and you just go out there and make it happen?
I do. I love finding solutions to problems and just finding ways to make it happen, like you said.
Yeah. As you look at the economy right now, I mean, a lot of people depressed. They're calling it a depression, a recession. You look at the economy, what do you think?
It is tough right now. That's true. No mistaking that. There's a lot of opportunities out there, too, I think, for people who are willing to look for them and to find ways to make things work and find solutions just to the problems we're facing right now.
Are you the kind of guy who looks for opportunities?
Yeah, I think I am.
What kind of guy is that?
I think it requires just an optimistic attitude and a firm belief that there is good that comes out of everything.
Yeah.
And having enough faith in God definitely helps that because, I mean, you can rest assured that God's going to work all things together for good.
Yeah. Just the overall assumption that God is really good, and he's put things into the ground and into our own brains that can really make things happen.
Right.
And if we have that kind of perspective on life out there, then we know we can do something good. And, you know, you've failed, too. I mean, it's not like it's always a bowl of cherries. I mean, occasionally you find yourself in the pits.
Definitely.
Yeah, you've failed before, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
And how do you deal with that?
I see failure as just an opportunity to, it's one of the required, I think, stepping stones for success. You have to fail in order to have success. If you're not willing just to step out there and risk failure, you're probably not going to enjoy the success that comes from the lessons you learn from your failures.
What's life like for Josiah Gallo, young entrepreneur in Denver? What's life like? Is it dull? Is it boring?
It's not. It's busy. Lots of work.
Yeah.
It's anything but dull and boring.
It's
exciting right now, especially with the challenges that we're facing. We're staying busy by the grace of God. God's providing lots of work for us, and everyone here is staying busy.
Uh-huh.
And, it's anything but boring. It's exciting right now.
What are the toughest issues you deal with as an entrepreneur?
Probably leading people and just the wisdom that I need, you know, every day, the wisdom I need for the decisions I face every day and making evaluations on how to move the company forward and how we're going to pursue different projects.
How do you make your decisions?
Well, I definitely get advice from people. That's one of the things that we live by in the company is just we get lots of advice and then we make decisions. And also, of course, spending time just in prayer and the Word. There's a lot in the Bible on how to run your business, especially in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
God created work, and he created it to be a good thing, and he has a lot to say about it.
Well, Josiah, we just have a minute or so left, but, you know, there's a young entrepreneur, maybe even an older entrepreneur, wannabe out there. What kind of advice would you give these guys? You know, they just want to get started. What would you tell them?
Well, I would say find out what you what you enjoy doing, what God's called you to do, and then pursue that. I think they'll, for me especially, there was a lot of times where it looked like it wasn't going to happen, and people around me even advised me, you know, it's probably not going to happen. You should get out now. It's going to be tough, but I stuck it out, and now I'm enjoying the benefits of that hard work and perseverance. Perseverance is definitely—that's what I would say is most important. Just stick with it and make it work. Work hard, and make sure you're doing what God wants you to do.
So one lesson you probably will not learn at Harvard Business School, you'll learn it in the School of Hard Knocks: diligence and persistence. And that paid off for you.
Yes, it did.
Well, praise God, praise God, and thank you so much, Josiah, for joining us. Josiah Gallo from Laser Designs in Denver. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Exciting times, my friends, as we face the great opportunity of 2009 and hopefully do it from a biblical perspective. I put together an MP3 of family economics from a biblical perspective that you can purchase right now on our website. Just go to kevinswanson.com and click on store, and you will find an MP3 with 5 talks on it relating to the introduction to family economics from a biblical perspective. Just go to kevinswanson.com right now and click on store and pick up that excellent introduction to a biblical perspective on family economics. As you know, all economics ought to be based in family. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.